Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. To many unbelievers, the idea seems absurd, and it has, going all the way back to the first century. To many believers, the truth is believed, and yet at the same time it's held with fear, or maybe it's just not even thought about that much at all. The idea, the truth, is what the Bible calls the day of the Lord, the teaching that on the day of God the Father's choosing, the Son of God will return visibly to the earth in power and glory as judge of all people, the living and the dead. The Bible says that the day of the Lord will be marked by divine fire, God's fire consuming all that is evil and broken and needing to be eliminated. At the same time, the fire of God's judgment on that day is talked about as also having a refining function, especially in a passage like 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where Paul talks about our works being put on trial and tested. He compares the works of God done in love through faith in Jesus as works that are done like building with gold, silver, or precious stones versus building with consumable things like wood, hay, or straw. St. Paul says that on that day, every work will be tested by fire. We know that fire would consume a wooden structure, for example. And that wooden structure is a picture of everything that we hold on to when we count as dear that really isn't all that important in light of eternity. The vacations that we take, the stuff that we accumulate, the accolades that we collect for ourselves. On that day, the divine fire of refining and judgment will lay bare those works and count them to be worthless. However, some things will come out shining like gold. Everything that is done for the sake of love, because of faith in Jesus, the poor that you've served in Jesus' name, the work of parents raising their children to know the Savior, the efforts of neighbors self-sacrificially providing for the needs of those around them, every gift that is given to advance the cause of the gospel, the day of the Lord will bring it all to light. The Bible talks about the day of the Lord being a day of great justice. As a result, it is the great source of hope for all who experience great injustice in this life. Jesus alludes to this in the Beatitudes as he begins his Sermon on the Mount. He says, for example, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be satisfied." In other words, if you truly desire to see that things be made right, that the good prevail, and that evil be stopped, you will not be disappointed on that day. Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." In this life, the weak and humble and powerless are often stepped on. They're often pushed aside. They often experience violence and marginalization. On that day, their oppressors will be the ones pushed aside. And the defender of the meek and lowly, God Almighty, will vindicate them and give them the victory. As for those who reject the Lord, as for those who turn their back on the world's rightful king, for those people, the day of the Lord will be a fearful day where they will experience divine justice and judgment turned against them. And St. Peter minces no words. The day is coming. You can deny that truth, much like the unbelieving crowd did when they mocked Noah as he built the ark in anticipation of the worldwide flood. But despite their mocking and their unbelief, the flood came. St. Peter says that the scenario will be the same on the day of Jesus' return. The reason that that day delays, the reason that it doesn't come sooner, is not because God is forgetful or weak. St. Peter says it's because he's patient. You see, every sunrise is a new opportunity for people to hear the good news and turn to faith in Jesus. Because when that final day dawns, the time for preparation, the time for repentance, will be over. Today, St. Peter is writing to remind us where our true hope is to be found. You and I watch the news, and we might ask ourselves, how can things be so messed up? Is there any hope? You hear of stories of innocent people experiencing horrible, devastating illnesses or falling victim to senseless acts of violence, and you wonder how things could seemingly be so unfair. You wonder if God plans to do anything about it. You may grow weary in the battle against evil, the evil in the culture around us, the evil that plagues our closest relationships and messes with them. Worst of all, the evil that still lives inside of us and acts up. You wonder if the struggle will ever end. You miss loved ones that you've laid to rest in the grave. And the aches and pains and sicknesses you experience remind you that your own day will come, and others will lay you in the grave. Is there any hope for people made of dust, people who live and die and return to the dust? We trick ourselves into believing that the answer to our longings might be more money and the pleasures that we can enjoy with it. Or maybe that the answer is better government or a new medical breakthrough, perhaps a vaccine. Perhaps the answer to our longings is a change of location, starting over in a new place. Maybe it's a new relationship. But all of these will fall short. None will make us truly happy and make everything right that is wrong with the world. Think even of the perfect marriage. You might be married to the same person for 50, 60, 70 years, and God might bless you with wonderful years, but eventually that marriage will end and death will part you. In your heart of hearts, do you know what you truly desire? What will make everything right in the world and in your life? It's the day of the Lord. It's the return of the King. And you can rejoice that Jesus will make all things right on that day because he has already done the work of making you right with him in anticipation of that day. If we had to stand before the King of the universe on the day of the Lord, at his coming, and stand on the basis of our own status, our own goodness, our own deserving, that would not be a good day. In fact, it would be the worst day imaginable. There will be too many on that day who will do that very thing, will stand before the judge seeking to defend themselves, to argue their own case, and they will be horribly and tragically unsuccessful. But we need not be counted among their number. For the same one who will stand before us as the judge is the one who came to take away the sin of the world. Every evil thought, every evil word and action that we have committed that would have doomed us on that day was placed upon him instead. And in a moment that was simultaneously horrible and beautiful, the Son of God bore the entire burden of the day of judgment at the cross because of God's love for us. Your sin and mine was judged there at Golgotha, and the verdict of guilt with its just sentence was borne by the innocent one, Jesus died, and he was buried. And in doing so, he guaranteed that your sin would die and be buried too. Of course, the story didn't end there. What happened to Jesus on the third day is also vitally important to understanding what our hope will look like on the day of the Lord. Jesus rose, body and soul, from the dead. And in rising, he became the firstborn from the dead and the source of resurrection life for us. He is the beginning of new creation, the source of the new heavens and the new earth that Peter speaks about in verse 13 of our reading, the home of righteousness. Because Jesus is risen, you and I also will rise. Because Jesus is risen, the world that we now call home will be remade and renewed, and it will flourish, and it will be everything that it was meant to be from the beginning. King Jesus will reign over the world from the capital city, the New Jerusalem, and you and I will reign with him as his renewed image bearers to the delight of the rest of the creation. Isaiah says the wolf will lie down with a lamb, the leopard will lie down with a goat, and the little child will lead them. He also says that they will neither harm nor destroy on all God's holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the seas. The day of the Lord, the return of our King, is the day of hope, beyond hope, for you and for me. And it's coming. It's drawing closer with every second that passes. It draws nearer with every person who hears and believes the good news about Jesus. So place your hope where it belongs today. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds today and always. In Christ Jesus, coming. Amen.